Welcome, everybody, to Extra Time, Still No New York, New York, as professional vacationer Andrew Wiebe remains in his natural habitat. But we've got a special show for you today. We've got ETR legend Kalen Carr back in the passenger seat to help me tow this show over the line as we jet into an interview with Inter Miami star Julian Gressel coming up, who will talk about his team season so far, some of the biggest stories in MLS. But first, we have something unique to do on this show. We have to say goodbye. To me, after almost a decade working around this show as an intern, editor, producer, and host, this will be my last show. There's so much to say, and I don't even have enough time, but I did force Wiebe and Doyle to join us for this segment to see if I can make Wiebe cry one last time on air. I love this sport because it's the universal language and creates connections, and that's what it has done through this show. You're all some of my best friends, and we've created a community. We've had kids. We've gotten engaged. We've moved cross country. We've gotten married together because of this show. And to any fan in this community that we have built who has ever tweeted at me or texted me, I cannot explain how much it means to me. And I apologize for not always responding quickly. As everyone on this show knows, that's not my strong suit sometimes. For anyone who stopped me in a stadium or in a city to talk soccer or talk about this show, it blows my mind every time, and it means the world to me, and I can never truly express it. I have so many thank yous to say. I don't have enough time, but I'm going to try some here. To Simon Borg and to you, Wiebe, who gave me a shot, believed in me, I can never say thank you enough. To Nick Furshaw and Greg Lawless for bringing me in. For one of my best friends, Abner Aceves, who 2 years ago gave me my dream job to cover this league daily the way I believed it should be for every team. And of course, the Galena, who I couldn't have done it without, and my co-hosts on that show, Susanna Collins, Jordan Angeli, Joe Lowry, Michele Giannone, Jaime Macias, and more that I cannot name. I think we're all thankful for the times we've gotten 9 volts of pick-me-up energy from CD9 when we needed it the most. We've all been made better by Bobby Washa asking us, what does that really mean? And by Kalen Carr responding on the other side with, what are you talking about? Tom, my immortal rec league soccer brother in arms, thank you for everything. To Anders for keeping us sane. To Maria for keeping us alive. It's fitting that my time at MLS has been bookended with 2 World Cups. In 2014, I hung out in São Paulo with Wiebe, believing that it was the best sporting event in the world. And 8 years later, I was asked to analyze and genuinely cover the World Cup on this platform alongside you, Doyle, who is one of the great voices of this sport in this region. Of course, I'm not done with this sport. You can find me where else next week, but at Chihe Cup, which is pretty fitting. I was a fan of this show before I joined, and I'll remain one. I was a fan of this game before I joined, and I already bought my pre-sale tickets this morning for the Women's National Team send-off series. So it's not goodbye. I'll see you online. I'll see you at stadiums. I guarantee it, but we've had some really good times. Wiebe, are you still breathing?
Well, I was crying from moment one. You can't cry if you can't breathe, I guess. So I'm breathing here. I'm sad the show is going in a different direction. Let me just gather myself here. I just want to say thank you.
That's 1 point for Team Goss.
Yeah.
I got him over the line.
In the crying draft, you're number one. In the golden boot draft, not so much. Yes. I just want to say thank you, Dave, for your partnership. In everything, honestly, in soccer, in the show, and friendship, and many, many years together. For your time, for your effort, for your energy, for your love of all things North American soccer, for your love of people, this show would not have been the same without you. The last decade would not have been the same without you. And I think that is what makes me love it. And I think it's what makes people who listen love it. You have an innate ability just to make things fun, man. To make any conversation engaging and interesting for, anybody, literally anybody. There is not a place, a time, a setting where you aren't the first person going up, making friends, starting a conversation, and I've followed in your wake for a long time. You attract other people. Thank you most of all for your friendship. Other than my family, there's nothing in my life I look forward to more than recording this show. That sounds strange, but I think that's the passion that's come through over the years for all of us. hanging out with my friends, talking about something we all love. And more than anything else, through all the other hosts we've had, all the special people you listed, all the people that made it possible and, you know, helped drive this thing along, it's been an absolute honor to do this with you. We've grown together, like you said, you know, from Sao Paulo, from dummies sharing a back line and too many beers on Brookhatton, marriage for both of us. Who would have thought that was going to happen at the beginning? Kids for one of us. We've aged. Ankle sprains and hair loss, more of those for some than for others. World Cups, Lisbon meetups with our wives. I did the math because, you know, I'm a nerd like that. I think it's 1,000 shows minimum that we've done together. If you say just on average, that's an hour a show, that's 1,000 hours. If you say we did about 2 hours of pre-production meeting and maybe a little bit afterwards, that's 3,000 hours. If you add that up, that's 125 full 24-hour days that we've spent together trying to make this show the best that we can possibly make it. And I'm proud of this more than anything else that I've done at Major League Soccer, more than anything else I've done as a professional. It's been an absolute pleasure. Look, we've spent how many hours in the group chat? We've spent how many hours over brown liquor at soccer fields of all types? It's been extra time radio. It's been extra time. It's been extra time live. We've recorded in closets. Literally, meeting rooms, hotel rooms, some of them with Bobby Warshaw lying on the ground, on the field at stadiums, multiple studios, remote during the pandemic when we supported each other. And I think we're a part of other people supporting themselves during that time. We've shared something real. It's not over. It's just not recorded for the time being. I hope that's not true forever. I hope we somehow circle back. But no matter what, I love you, man. Brotherhood is not blood. And yes, domino.
All right, Weeby, you got me there too. You got an extra point. That's fine. I'll take that one. I was thinking about Seattle earlier today, the CCL final. That was a special day, I think, for all of us. We wanted that for so long for MLS teams to be around people who cared about it like we did and the way people reacted to us. That was just one of the best days ever. And even seeing Kalen be like, what the hell is going on? His fans came up to take selfies with us because he had missed the night before. It was one of the coolest moments. So thank you to that city, but to every MLS city. Any stadium I go in and I get stopped and I get confused for Doyle and they tell me my take was wrong and that I'm insane for something that I never said. It means so much and it's always fun. And like you said, Weeby, it's not going away. We're all going to be together. We're all going to care about this. We love doing it so far. Thanks, you guys, for coming on for this so that we could join. And I think we have some Golden Boot stuff to do. Is that correct?
I'm surprised you brought it up.
I think I had a good weekend, so I felt like I should insert it back into the conversation right now at my peak, and then I can go away into the night and disappear. Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're not in first. I read this wrong every single time. Anders does this Norwegian style, and he moves the tops to the bottoms, and it's in its own language. Everyone guess who's in first place.
Yeah, it's Kalen and Tom.
That's why I'm back, baby. Let's do this.
Kalen, is there anything you'd like to say to your team or about your team at this moment that you've peaked so early, non-classic Houston Dynamo style in the season?
Well, no, not really. Tom has done a good job, but he got Dante Von Zaire has like 4 assists over the weekend. And I was like, we keep drafting this guy year after year. I'm like, this is not the assist draft, Tom. But other than that, no complaints. But I did want to circle back just real quick and just say that you mentioned that time in Seattle. That was so fun for all of us. And, you know, I just think the community, you guys all ran it down perfectly. But I think the community that's been built around the show is really awesome. And you mentioned the kind of the legacy of and some of the names that have been a part of it. And gosh, you are like the heart and soul of that's brought it kind of across the line through these different eras. So, it's been such a fun ride, being on this journey with you, man. And, you know, even as you mentioned all the times, those were like the high notes. There's also some ones of like giving me a shot at to go out and do some St. John's games. And you're just always looking out for other people around you. And I think that's, you know, something that I've always really appreciated about you, and I know will continue. So I just wanted to say that as well, too.
There's a picture that I really, there's a bunch of pictures that I really value and like bring me back into moments. And one of them, Dave, is us in Sao Paulo with Nick Furshaw and the youth and exuberance. And I remember we were at a bar and who's, it was like a famous bar for a specific soccer player. Oh, Socrates.
I think it was Socrates. Yeah.
Yeah. They were saying it was like Socrates's local joint. But I just remember the elation of that 2014 World Cup and all these moments since. There's a picture from that Seattle day, a selfie with us and a couple other guys. And I see our faces and Kaylin, you, me, and Dave and this happiness. And little did we know that hours from then, Kaylin would be part of one of the most infamous moments in MLS history. But God, there's just... It's the show, but it's all the moments around the show. It's Extra Time Live and us getting to travel around the country and go to all these stadium openings and these sort of like bucket list moments and share those together. Shout out to John Benton on those. It's Chris Karen and moving on to YouTube and the progression of the show and the personality of the show and how that's changed over years with different people and different hosts. And, you know, as I said, I'm sad that the show is going in a different direction. We've done this many times before, and what makes it hard for me is that we always did it together. You know, it was you and I, and then we found the people around it to really, you know, bring their personalities and their perspectives, but it was always you and me. And this show has been a reflection of our taste and of the things that we find interesting, whether or not other people always do. And I just appreciate that. That ultimately it's been about teamwork and it's been about two different perspectives that are not the same and about people thinking that sometimes you hate me, which, you know, that's brotherhood, dude.
Listen, you can't have true love if you don't have hate. I wouldn't have said any of the way you just said that the way you did it. And that's what's always made us great. You know, they say you can't go to your own funeral. Clearly, I'm getting a little bit of a preview right now and I am going to miss it when it happens. Kaylin and Weeby, you guys are signed up as speakers. Weeby's, yours will be edited by Ben Bear or Nick Rossano or Jonathan Siegel before we get there, just to make sure it's on track. But I completely agree with you. And I think, especially through the pandemic, we just had fans reaching out to us saying, thank you for being there, being with us, filling the time, doing the Mount Rushmores, and just debating the fourth Mount Rushmore in a Vancouver franchise that had made one playoffs time at the time and doing it for an hour before we got on air. And then Anders yelling, you guys are out of time because we still wanted to do it. It's just been so fun and it's been so special. And it is why I am so sad that my team had the best weekend of the year and I'm still in last place on the Golden Boot race because I wanted to leave you all by saying I'm smarter than all of you. And it's easy, but it's not. Doyle, you have moved into second place, tied with Weeby. You're both on 13 goals. Messi's obviously pretty good for you.
And yeah, no Messi this past week. No Driussi really yet. I think that I'll be okay in the long run. I think I'm going to be neck and neck with Tom.
Are you in communications with the AFA to talk about call-ups in Copa America?
It should be. I absolutely should be. I'm a little bit worried, actually. There's some rumors out there that Corinthians are bidding for Driussi. So I might lose one of my guys, but we'll see what happens.
You got to take a shot on goal to score a goal, though. Yeah, right. So it's tough days in Austin.
I got to say my piece real quick. 4 years ago on this show, I said you're the Makalele of this show. And we know what happened to Real Madrid after Makalele. So... you're going to, whatever you do next, we're all going to be watching and we're all going to hope to be a part of it in some way.
I hate you so much that you brought that up again. And that player of all players, at least it wasn't Vieira. If it was Vieira, I would have fallen off the chair. As he knows, because I did in person when we interviewed him going into one of the New York derbies, which was, I think there's a pretty famous picture of me and my friends keep sending it to me and say, I wish anyone looked at me the way David Goss looks at Patrick Vieira when they interview each other. So thank you. For anyone out there who wants to know, I don't know what's next. You can follow me at Empire Goss on Twitter. You can talk to me about soccer there all the time. If you have any advice, I take some as well as we all figure our way out in this world. Now, we got the Golden Boot teams out there. I think I have to kick you guys out because I don't want to lose my stats on the last day, which is I come in 25 minutes under Weeby on every single show. I also need Weeby to have to go explain why he's been crying about a podcast to his family.
Yeah, there might be a, you know, I might need to wipe my eyes, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. But I just want to end by saying, you know, it's fitting you had your best week when 100 of the best players in MLS were gone.
That's where I live, baby, on that second level. And I believe Anders has the quote of you saying, this show is more important to you than your family over the last 10 years.
I said second most important. But before the family arrived, probably was. Probably there you was.
Go. That's what it's all about. We've got Julian Gressel coming up. We're going to dig into the weekend with Kalen Carr. You two can go enjoy the rest of your day. Weeby, enjoy your 18th vacation of the year. And we'll talk to you again soon. All right, let's get back to soccer. Let's talk about the things that matter in life the most. Kalen, you are ETR Life, but you haven't been here all year because now you're calling games week to week. You've been on site for a lot of the best games. You've been on site for the best moment of MLS so far, which was Mother Nature hating Jonathan Sirwa and scoring the craziest goal for the Chicago Fire to win that game in Chicago.
The story on the Fire has been conceding late goals. Well, what a way to flip the script from his own half. That Chicago win. With some home cooking there.
You know about the home cooking?
I mean, I spent 5 years in Chicago, and I remember living in an apartment pretty much right off the lake. And you walk outside in the wintertime, and it feels like you got punched in the face. That's how hard the wind is. And you turn directions to go to find shelter, and it hits you from the other side, and you're like, how is this possible? But yeah, I'm still processing what happened at the end of that match there. It was chaos, multiple late goals, Chicago storming back, getting that huge win. And then, yeah, I think the fun part was kind of just kind of embracing the chaos, which is something that, you know, we've seen often in MLS, but to be kind of a part of that moment was bizarre, but definitely a fun highlight to have.
And as a former Fire guy, you're in the building for what has been one of their best moments, unfortunately.
I had fans like texting me afterwards saying like, oh, we needed some of that, just the inspiration or something to believe in. It's been pretty bleak there for a while. And that, as I kind of alluded to at the end of the match, like the end of the games has been the time of tragedy. So however it came, it felt like they just were happy to take it. And then I got a point on the road against New England, but still need to kind of find their footing in the season. But look, it had been going the wrong direction, so you kind of have to find whatever foothold you can.
So I wanted to ask you about your favorite stories in MLS so far as we look forward to the weekend. Montreal was on the wrong side of that, but they've been one of the surprises. You've been on the call for them. You've talked to the staff. You've been around them. What do you make of, is Montreal back, what they are under Laurent Courtois so far?
I mean, I've really, really enjoyed like the conversation we had with Laurent and in the week leading up to that match. And then I thought the way they approached the match and the way they played throughout was they were clearly the better team. And on the road so far, you know, I thought, you know, a lot of the conversation, even on Extra Time and on the studio shows, has been around how he's kind of like a Wilfred Nancy type. Coming from Crew 2 and working under him at Columbus. But you see little moments of that where they're trying to play in possession. But I think he's been a lot more pragmatic in his approach to this crazy road trip. I did a road trip twice in Chicago and Houston where we did six matches on the road, opening a stadium up later on in the season. And for me, you get a little bit of like, you get into a rhythm on the road where you have an understanding of how you get, especially if you get results, how to get points, even if it's not pretty. And I think we're going to see a very different team on April 20th in Montreal when they're at home and they have, you know, they've had time in the season to kind of build. And they had some really, even one of the goals they scored in that Chicago match, that was like really intricate passing patterns, and Joseph goes behind the leg and, like, I think they're going to be a much more entertaining team in a way, or a little, the style is going to start to show a little bit of the way Courtois wants to play as time goes on. But I think Montreal, for where they are at the end of last year, missing out on decision day, and then already, you know, had an amazing start to the season. So for me, unsurprisingly, Goss, you got to give some love to the Canada teams. I got my Andre Hainault Canada training top on right now that Canadian, I call him a legend.
Played Gold Cup legend for sure. I think he went to a semi. He was in the semifinal when Gooch created the goal that's Canadian fans still complain about. And Houston Dynamo legend as well. It almost feels like what you were talking about, that it was actually a good thing for Laurent Courtois that it started this way, because there's no expectations on the pretty soccer, which, as you said, is like what he came in with. And that's what Nancy did. You can't ask for it in his first few games on the road. And he had to start this way anyway. Like, he had to clean up the defensive issues, make them hard to play against first before he got to the next step, because he doesn't have the talent that Nancy's flopped over to Columbus with. And it's like, oh, Cucho and Zellerion are here. That's like an easier starting point, unfortunately, than Bryce Duke and Mahalo Opoku. No offense to those two players. So it feels like this has been almost ideal outside of the Chicago Wind, which maybe would exist in Montreal. I don't know what the Wind looks like.
A couple, of referee decisions as well in that one. So yeah, that game had everything. Controversy, Wind. But yeah, Montreal start has been legit. The other one I got to go to is Toronto. Staying in Canada. Cool, this is Goss. We got to stay in Canada.
You got to. The future of soccer is red and white.
Well, the funny part is I was doing some research. I did Toronto last week. I'm going back up again this week to do another match there. And I was going through Shaquille Marshall, Arruti, and looking at some of the young players. And I was like just going through their bios. And I was like, Brampton.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So it's funny, man. But yeah, I mean, some of the young players have really stepped up. I thought he has been really good. He's 19 years old. And I think there was this idea that he was going to walk in maybe even a couple years ago. I think it's his fourth season. Yeah. As a pro.
He was Liverpool. He was training at Liverpool 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. But he's now, I think, you're starting to see it beginning to click. He got his first goal against New York City. And then last week, I thought he had a really strong performance playing and kind of, they switched sides. They switched him to the right side as a wing back. And they pushed Bernadeschi higher as like a dual 10 with Insigne. And so they had Spicer on one side and Shaquille Marshall-Ruddy on the other. And it really worked with these two young guys just pushing forward, being more direct. But I really liked his game defensively, and then we're starting to see him just the way he glides with the ball is pretty to watch. And same with Bernadeschi, which I should add was, I mean, the way that this team looks totally different. I did a few of their games at the end of last season, and it was bleak. It was some of the most depressing matches. I did a match that was rained out on Saturday between New York City and Toronto. Both were going to miss the playoffs. At Red Bull Arena at 1 p.m. And Toronto conceded I think a first minute goal. And it was so bleak, the whole thing. But this year it's completely different. Herdman come in, the new spirit around the team, like the vibes around just being around the club feel night and day compared to what it was. So I think I got assigned them, I was like, this could go either way. I have them match day 5 and 6. I don't know what this is going to be by then, but I was not predicting them to be where are they at, like top of the, they're pretty close to their top five right now, you know, on one off the lead. So in the East, so, I mean, it's been an impressive start from them.
It's Shaquille's one of the interesting stories of like, what he's doing now is what he's done at youth levels playing up ages. And there was this expectation that he could just do it at the pro ranks. And like we've seen players like Kate Cowell, who are early physical developers, be like, yeah, they kind of can do those things at the pro ranks. And then there was this frustration with Shaquille that like it didn't happen immediately. And you're like, he's a teenager playing pro soccer, also playing in bad teams where like he's not really supported and the game doesn't really make sense. You don't know where the breakdowns are coming from. I think one of the things for him, and you saw, I think with Spicer, and we've seen it this year, is like, you know, you're not going to lose the ball in bad spots, and the wingbacks can make the commitment to make more runs. And that's why Richie was brought in, and now he's injured. And so you see Shaquille taking that space. But like, we haven't seen Shaquille score goals because I don't think he knew he could commit and make an underlap because he didn't know what was going on going back the other way. You didn't have trust in your center backs. You didn't have center mids that could close it down. that's changed. What did you make of Spicer? Because he came, number one draft pick, center forward, obviously for college kids. I've been at a million combines where you hear every coach say, like, get ready to play other positions. But he's an interesting profile as a wingback. What do you make of it?
I thought he was good. There were kind of the way you're describing. I mean, he only got like 15 minutes off the bench against New York City. And he had a few really good moments. He had a ball in behind that Akinola should have scored but didn't on that left side. And then I thought Herdman made a kind of a bold move to give him the start at home, and it paid off in a big way. Still some moments as far as decision-making. Does he make the right pass? Does he look to dribble? But I think sometimes, especially for guys that don't have a ton of experience or minutes, moving even a striker to a wing back position can simplify things because it's really a little bit more direct. You just go end to end. You play a little bit more vertical. He was also paired with Insigne, yeah. So good guy to run off of. And that's actually how the goal came. Insigne dropped off a little bit deeper, had the ball, ended up playing into DeAndre Kerr, lays it off to Spicer. And it's funny, when I was watching the replay back, I didn't catch it in the moment, but I think it was Cuejo is, oh no, it's Rusted, was overlapping. And he actually just points to Spicer to go, like, go in, run in. And he just runs in and the ball lands at his feet and he just knocks it in. It was a great touch, but it's funny that sometimes that's the way it works for you when you're a young player and you're not necessarily, you know, it's that you're not, you don't have a clear picture of how an MLS match goes yet. But I think it was a bright start. And the idea that he can, I think, play a couple different positions. If you're a young player, you're going to get more opportunities that way. Still some questions at the nine for them, whether they're going to do with, whether it's Kerr, Owusu, both got, had good performances, I thought. But I think as far as who pairs with those Italians, But Bernadeschi being higher up the pitch, he's going to have to be a bigger role there because Insigne came off right before halftime. And I think that's the question mark for me is this sustainable for this group in the long term? And also, how do you respond to adversity when things don't go well? Because we've seen things start to crumble a little bit and there's that scar tissue from last season and you hope some of those things don't pop up again. I think they've deserved the benefit of the doubt with the start that they've had. And that's why it was great to get a result coming off of a loss. I was interested to see how they responded to that. But so far, I think Herdman's been able to pull the right strings and get this group with a bunch of injuries as well to find results.
So Insigne's been at training this week. He has not trained. He has been dressed to train. So there's probably a level of positivity that he's not on crutches or in a wheelchair or anything like that. Seems unlikely he'll play this week. We still haven't gotten an actual update on what the injury is, but he hasn't gone in and done surgery yet. So it sits in a weird place right now. As you said, it's going to be tough for them to maintain it without him, but it is possible because there have been some wholesale changes. It feels like culturally and structurally to this team that they might be able to hold the fort for a little bit without him. If it is a little bit, which the hope is that it will be. Let's move to another one for you. You wanted to talk a little bit about the Red Bulls. You've been in the building for them a couple times. Forsberg has been a bright spot for them early. You mentioned Van Zier's four assists, Lewis Morgan, who I thankfully gave up on for my Golden Boot team, as I've already told him, you're welcome, earlier in the week for not cursing him once again. But they're another team that has come out hot to start the year. They're tied for second place in the East right now on 10 points after beating Miami this weekend. What have you made of the Red Bulls?
They've been exciting. It's been one of the better stories for me of the season for MLS. I'm trying to find the words for this. And I felt this way sometimes calling their matches where they're playing good soccer.
They're playing the sport.
And you're like, wait a minute, what's happening here? Because preparing to call a Red Bull match is in the past has been kind of like, hey, don't worry too much about doing any research on deeper storylines. You're not going to have time to tell any stories because it's just going to be a car crash. It's just going to be end to end. And now it's, you know, you see the ideas, the way they play the ball around. I think Noah Ayla has been a really good under the radar signing, 21-year-old Swedish youth international. Missed last week against Inter Miami because he's with Swedish side over there. So But then, yeah, Forsberg, a layer in front. They always played that 4-2-2-2 stacked, but now have kind of switched to the 4-2-3-1, except last week they went back to the 4-2-2-2, but I think that was just because Forsberg was gone, and they want to put him as the 10. And that makes the most sense to me as far as getting him on the ball more in dangerous positions. Lewis Morgan out on that left flank. We saw him kind of drifting that way anyways, even in this last match. The one that like summarized the entire game to me and the difference between them and Inter Miami was that play where Morgan goes and slides to keep the ball inbounds. Yeah. So he gets a hat trick, but like the way this, they still haven't lost that kind of switch in their brains as far as how Red Bull plays. They have the quality, the ideas, but that like psychotic, like I'm going to go in the rain and try to keep this play in is the type of thing that I think this team has always had. The big difference is now that they have the quality, they have some ideas. Sandro Schwartz, I think, has come in and set them up to be different. So if they get a number nine, I know that's a big if. I think this team can actually challenge and for trophies. I really believe that. That's just, it's kind of surreal to say that because it always felt like they were always going to be a playoff team, but there was never any, the floor was high, the ceiling was also low, so it wasn't really going to pop off. And this year feels different, so it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. We had a bunch of questions on Monday about like, what do you take from the Inter Miami game, right? Weird lineups, players out for both sides, ridiculous weather. And they're like, how much can you take? And it's like, if I'm a Red Bull fan, I'm taking everything because it hasn't been this fun for a while. It should be fun. It's sports, it's soccer, it should be good. And there's every reason to believe that if they continue to push, that they can be a cup contender. But they have to do that. In the past, it's felt like they've gotten to points like this. And then it's been like, okay, now we trust everyone. We don't need to add to it. And it feels pretty obvious that there needs to be at least one more piece brought in to make the game easier for some of the guys that's already there. The last one I want to ask you about, we're searching for a comment from the Kalen Carr community on this one. So you don't have to speak for all former Houston Dynamo players. But in the conversation about TFC, I thought about Houston in that start of the year, CONCACAF Champions Cup, no Ace Ace, no Quiñones they knew. Then Sebas Ferreira goes out. They snuck by St. Louis in CONCACAF. And then in the league, they've drawn KC. They beat Portland. And then they won at Colorado this weekend in the 96th minute. It isn't pretty. It's not really a jump off from last year. But they're fighting. It feels like there's a little bit more there. What is, if you're talking to people in the community, what's sort of the feeling about like what this year is now for Houston off of the Western Conference Finals and Open Cup in Ben Olsen's first year?
I think you have to say it's positive. And the big thing for me is that Ben Olsen has stuck to his game model. So even without these pieces, I was wondering, we spoke about how Laurent Courtois or maybe John Herdman earlier in the season are managing, you know, being a new manager in this situation. But this is Ben Olsen's year two. And so last year, this time, they were really searching for what's our identity, what's our game model, how are we going to make these pieces fit? We know we have the strong midfield, we can build off that. But now they've taken the midfield and it's blown up with Hector Herrera's injury amongst a bunch of injuries, essentially, and guys being gone. Coco was gone last weekend. So that's been difficult, but they've kept their style of play and they've kept the ball, basically. So they've kept that possession base and they've been able to get results, which is pretty impressive. The disappointing part for me has been that last year so far exceeded expectations that it was kind of just like an amazing ride. The fans got to lift the US Open Cup. It was just like watching this team continue. They go all the way to the Western Conference Final. Like that was just, it was kind of a real coming back to the Dynamo expectations. The disappointing part was more you're hoping to like reach those levels again and then also maybe seeing a window in the Western Conference where you're saying, okay, maybe St. Louis isn't going to be quite as good as they were last year. Seattle.
Yeah.
So you're saying maybe Houston can actually punch through here and take the next step. That hasn't happened. And I think a big part of it has been the roster construction. They just haven't been able to, they lost Corey Baird. They haven't replaced him. They tried Amin Bassi as a false nine at times. Yeah. I think Aliyu has really progressed. He's been really good so far this season. And they needed that spot because Quiñones, as you mentioned, was out with that ACL, I believe. So they've gotten some good, you know, results so far this year, and kind of use that Ben Olsen grit that he's always had with his teams with that same game model. So I've liked that combination, but I'm hoping that they go out and make some signings. It does sound like they're in the market to try to get some depth. And then also that nine position is a position of need for a lot of teams in MLS right now.
Yeah.
But they haven't been able to solve that.
They're an interesting story to me because they are like on that edge, as you said, kind of like with Red Bulls. Red Bulls have a little more history with it, but of like, it feels like there's clear identifiers of like how you get to that next step, but historically they haven't done it. But Houston, it feels like last year was different than historical. Of like bringing in Ache alone was a different type of move than what we've seen. And then you have the success off the back of it. Can you continue it? Obviously his injury hurts a ton and we still don't really know how long he'll be out, but doesn't feel good. And for every game he's out, they're playing behind the eight ball and they're already a decent portion into the season without him.
I did hear that I did see somewhere that they're looking like mid to late April for him to come back. So if that is true, that would be huge for them.
Yeah.
Still questions about the amount of minutes you're going to put on him. Same with Coco. It just feels like they had to carry so much last year and through all these different competitions. So I think some depth are needed anyways, even to help those guys out when they're back and healthy and fit.
Bring Adam Moffitt back. Bring Will Bruin back. Bring
the Moffitt Rocket back.
Let's go. Let's get the crew back together. yeah, I had to ask you about that one because we haven't talked much about the Dynamo, but I think they're an interesting team right now. And of course, we can always talk Canada because we love talking Canada and that's what everyone always yells at us to do. So that's what we give them. Thank you, Kalen, for coming back, hanging out.
Got a question for you.
All right.
Real quick. Where are you going to... next MLS match you're going to, what's it going to be?
Maybe Columbus playing in Mexico. See if I can sneak my way into a CCC match.
Ooh, I like that.
It'd be a fun one.
I've got a buddy in Monterrey who's trying to get Messi tickets. And I can't help him.
That's always the fun hit up, right? Like, oh man, it's been 5 years. do you have tickets to the most exclusive sporting event?
I'm like, I can help you out maybe at Red Bull Arena, not for a Messi match.
Maria says 25,000 pesos right now, which I don't have a calculator or translator or converter on me. So I assume that's a lot of money. it's going to be wild to see him play in that setting because that's always been one of my favorite parts about CONCACAF competition is like, we've seen a little bit in MLS, but then you spread it out from there. But I think Columbus are so fun. So wherever they're playing, I will probably try and attend a game. And I'll be at GA Cup next week. So I will attend multiple U15 and U17
Where games is that?
Every single day. It's now in Bradenton.
Okay.
At IMG, which I know is probably a place you've frequented quite often.
Spiritual home of youth soccer.
Exactly. Yeah. They're rebuilding the residency. Every team has to live there the whole year and play all the time. But it should be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. Obviously, the Kevin Sullivan news is huge this week. Rumors that Man City are going to buy him, but then also he'll play for the Union for 4 years, which I think is interesting. And Christian McFarlane as well, who's an NYCFC Academy homegrown, who it sounds like is also being looked at, and he's got a British passport. So it would make a ton of sense. But again, this is why I love that competition, because it's closer now than it's ever been. Of like, I watched Kevin Sullivan with U15s last year, and now Tom Bogert himself is tweeting out about him on the interwebs about what he could do. So thanks, Kalen, once again. And let's get to Julian Gressel. All right, we kick Kalen Carr off to bring in a real podcast host, a true top-level blue-chip podcast host, Julian Gressel of Inter Miami and the player manager. So, Julian, thanks for coming on so you can interview me.
I appreciate it. Thanks for thanks for having me on.
So you have all your questions lined up? You're ready to host?
I didn't think that was going to be an episode like this, so not really prepared right now. But podcasting is hard. I give you that, and it's not easy to prepare and kind of get ready for things. It's something I certainly underestimated. So, it's harder than I thought.
But you're a little bit of a veteran because you've done other shows. Why do you enjoy it? Like, what brings you into saying you already have a career that you also want to do this alongside it?
Yeah, it's something that I want to see if it's something for me potentially post-career, you know, and I think there's so many avenues to go down after, and this is something easy I can do along the side, and something interesting I thought also I can provide a lot of insights in terms of what's going on in my life as an actual player currently. So not just speaking maybe after my career is done as a former player. And you have a lot more insights in that way. And especially obviously now, you know, with the team that I'm playing on, there's obviously a lot of interest in what's happening. And that's why we decided to do the Player Manager podcast, and start it up again and, really talk about my life and what it's like to play with these guys, with Messi and those guys, day in and day out, and kind of what it's like, the whole experience is like in general. So, I enjoy it so far. Like I said, it's hard work. But I've enjoyed even the last podcast I did with Fabian Herber's See Soccer podcast. And unfortunately that kind of ended, not the way we wanted to, but, again, it was something that we just tried and we wanted to figure out and see if we liked it or not. And, I liked it and that's why I want to continue and just see. Yeah, just continue and give some more insights to the fans while also seeing if it's something I can build my resume a little bit in the media for post-career.
Providence, a great college. They've taught you well. They get you ready for the next stage in life. Should we be worried about a Fabian Herber's revenge moment in an MLS game because you've now moved on to other podcasts?
No, we've had a conversation. I mentioned it to him and he, you know, obviously, like I said before, we're a little bit sad about how our podcast ended mm-hmm. back then. We just didn't really get the support that we needed. It would have been too much for both of us to kind of, you know, really, really dig deep into everything and really provide a good show continuously. And that would have interfered with our time, with our real, you know, real job. And that's, trying to
the
play.
The other thing you do, yeah.
Yes. So, and we always set it out that we didn't want that to happen. That's why we kind of had to stop, unfortunately. And now this is a little bit of a different thing where I have the support. I obviously have a great co-host with Zealand, and we have a good background team so far that we're trying to grow even a little bit more. But it's much easier to kind of get things off and running. And unfortunately, we didn't have that back then. But Fabi said it's okay, and I'm sure he'll be on as a guest very soon here.
Hey, he's been playing every position just like you so far this year. You guys have a lot in common, as we learned through the podcast. Tell everyone where they can find it, how often, what they're going to get, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what's been going on so far this season.
Yeah, so it's called the Player Manager Podcast. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. And like I said, I'm doing it with Zealand. He's my co-host. He's a YouTuber that does a lot of deep dives into some weird things that happen in the soccer world, but he also plays Football Manager a lot. So we talk about that a little bit. It's coming out not too regularly yet. I think we're kind of just trying to figure out my schedule and his schedule and all those things. But usually every week, every 2 weeks, you'll find a new episode. I think we've done three so far. We're doing another one next week. So, we're just chatting about Inter Miami stuff, MLS stuff, soccer around the world stuff. And that's really it. It's really just a casual conversation about obviously what's going on in my life and how things are at Inter Miami with Messi and Busquets and Suarez and Alba and all those guys, but also kind of general trying to grow the league and trying to grow insights into what's happening as an MLS player of kind of what the league is like and what our day-to-day is like and things like that.
I thought you were going to talk about the global following of Robert Taylor and Noah Allen and all of them. I thought that's why you started the show, quite honestly. You mentioned how hectic your schedule is because of everything Inter Miami is going through already this year. Preseason friendlies, CONCACAF Champions Cup, yeah. MLS season. We know League's Cup's around the corner. We know there's going to be more competitions as it goes along. What's it felt like so far balancing these competitions?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously got thrown right into it in terms of our preseason tour, right? And I think we have to start there where, you know, we were into really good competition right away. We didn't really have those friendlies where you wear training jersey, all those types of things. Right. No, it was national TV. It was, world stage type of games. So we've really been at it from the start. And it's been challenging. It's been a lot. for sure. It's been, you know, nonstop, I feel like. But at the same time, the preseason kind of prepared us for this a little bit, right? Where, yeah, we traveled a lot, and it was a really good tour, obviously promotionally for the club and for some of those, or for really all of us to get to know different cultures, all those things. And now, you know, we've started pretty well in MLS, I thought. Obviously a couple hiccups, which in my opinion is a little bit normal if you have mm-hmm. this type of scheduling, and especially CONCACAF, Champions Cup, all those things happening at the same time. So we got to just, you know, keep trying to recover at the moment and trying to find a good balance of, yeah, pushing at the right times, but also trying to recover and getting ready for some really, really big games. Obviously, you know, you talk about the Champions Cup matchup against Monterrey. And in MLS, we want to continue to be on top of the table and continue to be, collecting points, because we also know later on this summer, you know, we might not have some of the guys around that are currently regular starters. So because of different tournaments and everything. So, it's finding a good balance. It's definitely been challenging, but, you know, we knew this was happening. So we could prepare ourselves for that at the beginning of the year.
You've played on teams almost all the time that have been in multiple competitions with genuine hopes to win, right? Atlanta, Vancouver, Canadian Championship, CONCACAF stuff as well. Columbus, I'm going to leave DC to the side for now on that list. Obviously, from the outside, everyone tells us, the fans, like, oh, we want to win everything. Everything matters. Internally, though, as you swap from competition to competition on a weekend to a midweek to a weekend and back and forth, how does a team really manage the different pressures and experiences at the same time?
Well, I think you see that in terms of the lineup a little bit every weekend, right? Especially now, this one coming up, for example, this two-week stretch here where we play Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. You know, those are moments where we'll have to manage minutes. I say this, and it's the end of March, and I think I'm one of the only two guys on the team that has started every single game, including preseason games. So I've already played like 15 or 16 games, I think, this year, which it's only end of March.
You're going to get a couple seasons in, yeah.
It's incredible to kind of think about. But so it's definitely something that I think the coaching staff will certainly manage. And, you know, right now, obviously the biggest thing, I think, is the CONCACAF Champions Cup for us, you know, and that matchup against Monterrey, I think, is kind of what we're eyeing. But, you know, without forgetting about MLS and without forgetting about kind of what happens there and how, you know, we, you know, had the loss against Montreal and now the loss to the Red Bulls, it's, you know, those points still that you lose still sting, and they can, you know, especially what the team had gone through last year in terms of having a slow start in the beginning and then kind of trying to make up at the end to try to make the playoffs. Obviously, this year we have different aspirations than just making the playoffs, right? We want to collect trophies, and the Supporters Shield trophy is one of those. So it's certainly finding the right balance, and it's a challenge, you know, especially if you fly to Mexico. Then I think we play 2 days later in Kansas. So like, there's a lot of different stuff coming up that, you know, requires a lot of different conversations and honesty, you know, from a lot of guys about, hey, I feel a little bit tired, I would like to get an extra rest day or things like that. So, we do have an experienced team, I think, that can manage kind of through that. And obviously an experienced coaching staff that will have to manage through all that as well, which the first time around when I was with them in Atlanta, they didn't quite know so much about the league yet. But now I think they really do, and they really understand how demanding this league is. You know, we can go from playing in 40-degree weather in New York in the freezing rain like last weekend to, you know, landing 3 hours later back home in 80-85-degree weather. So, you know, and then all of a sudden now this week's games will be 85 degrees, you know, and humid and all those things.
And then
things.
You go to altitude, which is always
that's
fun.
Right. Yeah. So it'll, you know, it's also different types of challenges that way, where they understand that now, and we'll be able to hopefully manage through that in the best way possible by collecting as many points in MLS and also advancing through to the next round in the Champions Cup.
You mentioned Tata Martino. You played for him as a rookie in Atlanta. You're now playing for him again. We all, from the outside, off season, 6 months before, a year before, were Julian Gressel. Tata's a Julian Gressel fan. We know that. You were a rookie back then. You've been in this league for a while. You're a veteran now. What's your experience with him now compared to then, of the way you interact, the way you see him as a manager? And you talked about his progressions as well.
Yeah. I mean, back then it was me coming in totally new, right, to this whole professional athlete thing, trying to find my way, trying to, you know, make a career, trying to get as many minutes as possible. And I guess Tata liked, yeah, something in me and saw something in me that he trusted me on the field in multiple different spots. And, you know, with guys around me that obviously were much higher profile than me, all those types of things. And that really got my career started. So I'm obviously thankful to him for what he's done for my career, in a sense, right? For what he's allowed me to do since then, and what he's kind of pathed the way for me, in a sense, right? So obviously thankful for that, and that's why right now I feel like I have to pay back that trust and everything a little bit as well, where you know, we were in touch last year when he got appointed again in Miami, and I congratulated him, and I was happy that he was back in MLS. And obviously then as free agency kind of opened and I was free, he was more in touch, and the club was in touch as well, and they kind of wanted to see if I was willing to come in. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, it's a no-brainer for me to be part of this team. And and now the relationship really is, there's a certain comfort level. There's, you know, still high demands and high he has a high standard for me still, probably even more so than what it was in Atlanta, to be honest. And that's a good thing, you know, where I think he said to me before, he's trying to find his veteran MLS guys that he had in Atlanta. Talk about Jeff Lorenowitz, Michael Parkhurst, Brad Guzan came from overseas, but mm-hmm. you know, those types of players. And he was like, this is kind of now the role that you're stepping into. So, that obviously resonated with me, and I was like, yeah, absolutely makes sense. And I'm totally for that. I'm totally happy to take on this type of role and on this type of team. And that's why I think he wanted me to be part of it. And it's been super, super good so far. I obviously have a good relationship with him. I trust him with, you know, whatever he does, even if he leaves me on the bench at some point.
I was going to say, that doesn't happen.
At some point, but obviously you've played in so many different positions already and you know, this season. And I know that he obviously has the best interest for the team in mind, and so do I. So it's been a really, really good start to this Inter-Miami journey for me.
So I think if you ask most people who are the best or big managers in MLS, Tata would be one of the first names said, if not the first. Wilfried Nancy would be up there as well. He has made a name for himself. Obviously, you won MLS Cup with him last year. You didn't play for him as long as what you've played for with Tata. But give me a little compare contrast here of how they operate, what makes them great in similar ways or different ways.
Yeah, they're both demanding, you know. And I want to say, Tata obviously is a little bit more experienced, a little bit older, and has seen a lot more throughout his career, while Wilfred is just starting out and really as a coach, if you think about it. I think it's his fourth year now, maybe.
Yeah, as a head coach, sure, in MLS.
Yeah, yeah. So, but both obviously super specific and detail-oriented about kind of what they want their teams to look like, what they want their shape to look like, what it should look like offensively, defensively. Where one big difference for me is Wilfred is more structured, a lot more structured in a way, where he likes his team or the guys on the field to all occupy different positions at all times. While Tata gives you a little bit more freedom in a sense where you can, once we kind of build out the back and once we kind of move into the attacking half and the attacking third, he really gives, be like, hey, this is you, like, go ahead and express yourselves and really create, you know, yeah, be you. And while Wilfred still tries to keep the structure of the team in place to create from that structured moments. But, you know, both of them very, very good humans. They really understand the human side of it, the family side of it, that there's more to you than just being a guy that's stepping on the field. So they're approachable, you can talk with them, and really something that, yeah, I cherish a lot, especially Wilfred, obviously very more communicative in a way where he's very like almost like a professor at times, gives a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different mental thoughts that come into your head when he kind of speaks, and he kind of gives speeches and stuff. And it's been I'm so fortunate, honestly, to have played under both of them, to have learned from that. Even the, my short time in Columbus, I was only there 4 months, 5 months maybe. And I took so much away from that. And now, obviously, you know, and, that I can apply and even pay forward to some of the guys that haven't, you know, necessarily been around. But just some, you know, some little things that are so simple at times that he just says and that or he said, yeah, that were so great.
I'm not even going to get into Vanny Sartini because we don't have another hour to go into him. But what a legend. And he'll be back on the sideline very soon for Vancouver. You have brought up the name Messi. I have not yet, which I think I'm going to get in trouble for at some point. So let's get into it. You've talked a lot about playing with him. You've talked a lot about the experience. Start at the beginning. What was your wow moment? You know, everyone always talks about when you get into the league, when you get with a team, you have that big wow moment. Messi is, in his own way, an experience. And obviously you said it was a no-brainer to come play for him. Do you have like that one time where you're like, oh yeah, this is me and Messi doing this thing?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few wow moments, to be honest with you, already. And I actually talk quite a bit about that on the podcast. But the one thing that, one moment stuck out to me from the probably one of the first ones was probably when we really for the first time scrimmaged a little bit, and that there was a play. Even Suarez had just been, you know, obviously plugged in into the lineup, and there was a play where it went through all four of them. I think Busquets and Alba had a 1-2, and then Alba chipped it into the box, and Suarez one time headed it back to Messi, who was on top of the box, and he just volleys it after having 4 months or 3 months off, and just volleys it straight into the back of the net. And I was on the other side. I was playing on the right, and I was just like, wow, like incredible. So it's those moments that you can just, yeah, that are just, but there's more. There's moments where Leo picks up his head or plays a pass that I don't even see it, you know, or he picks out a runner that I don't even see. It's just incredible. Or it's tight controls and tight spaces where he dribbles past 3-4 guys, you know, not really even touching the ball much, just kind of using his body. Just typical stuff that you see in games that he does on a daily basis in training that are just, yeah, incredible.
The typical stuff that's atypical because he's the only one in the history of the planet that can do it. And we've enjoyed watching it. You brought up Suarez in that, who somehow has at times gone, you know, a little bit quietly behind because Messi's such a big character, where for other MLS teams, Suarez would be the story in the face of it. What is it like watching him work? What's it like working with him? And your positioning a lot, whether it's center mid or wing back or right back, whatever it's been, is a lot feeding him and learning his game. What's that been like?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, he speaks a good amount of English as well. So, you know, we were able to talk a little bit about him trying to find a house and, you know, those things that are off the field that kind of build a little connection, you know, as stupid as it sounds. But even if you just ask somebody of how their family is, it's different than when you don't do any of that stuff. So obviously seeing him work and seeing how he takes care of his body is incredible to me. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into that, obviously, as it's been well reported everywhere that he was washed up, but he certainly isn't. And he
incorrectly reported, clearly.
Yeah, he proves that every day in training, to be honest. The guy has such a nose for the goal. It's incredible to see. And getting kind of on the same page with him at times has been good. Has been, obviously, you know, I've watched him around the world score goals, and to do that now with him, trying to figure it out, how to feed him the ball, like I did a couple times there in that one game against
DC.
I think it was at home, whatever, doesn't matter. Orlando.
Oh, there we go. I'm like, how can I not remember?
Yeah. where, you know,
the interstate 5-0 win. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you sometimes just need to give him the ball and find him in the right space. He takes the right touch, and then his finishing is obviously second to none. And That's really been incredible to see. And you know, that type of quality that we have on the team, is something surreal. Like, you can change games. Like, he comes in DC, plays 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and scores two great goals yeah. and wins the game for us in that way, you know? So, we have multiple players that can kind of provide that quality. And it's certainly nice to be on a team like that.
Let's talk about that, because I think what's interesting is Messi's obviously such a huge piece of what you do. And now we're in a reality of like, okay, when he's not with the team, not if, when, and we don't know how long or how often, but it will happen. You look at some of the starting lineups you put out there, and if Messi never existed, we would say this is a competitive MLS team. Like, this is a really good group. You've got yourself, you've got Drake Callender, who was a goalkeeper of the year finalist. You've got international center backs, Busquets, Suarez, all these pieces. What is the team without Messi, and how much does, I don't want to say the identity change, but obviously you're going to be a high possession dominant team with him. Without him, the conversations in the group, how different are they about the goals and what you're trying to accomplish and the patterns and what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I think it changes obviously a little bit, right? I mean, every player that gets out of there, gets out of the lineup, changes the team. But I think our overall theme of being possession dominant and trying to create from possession will always be there. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't try and step high and don't try and press you and turn you over, which I think we've also done, you know? So we're also trying to be there, and that's kind of a signature Tata type style, right? That how mm-hmm. we played in Atlanta, especially as well. So it changes because he obviously adds something that no other team in the world can add because Messi is Messi. And, you know, we change in that sense a little bit, where the creation of goals and scoring opportunities and everything kind of needs to be shared a little bit more, I feel like. And we need a little bit of an extra thing where, you know, at times when Leo has the ball, everybody kind of turns on, you know, everybody kind of runs and everybody yeah. does a little bit of extra thing, where now when he's not on the field, that doesn't happen. But at the same time, we need to find a way to kind of still have that spark, still have those moments where other pieces, other players are showing their other qualities and those types of things. So I think the overall theme of the team, you know, we're trying to keep the same of being dominant, of trying to control games, you know, with the midfielders that we have, with, you know, all the other guys that we have on the field. And that won't change too much, I think. But again, it's still a challenge to go obviously from one game with Leo to another without, and I'm not going to say, you know, this is just easy, plug and play the next guy. Like, no way, you know, you got to work on it. And that's why I'm happy that, you know, games like in DC, where we were playing even without Jordi Alba and Suarez in the starting lineup, that we were able to kind of find a way with them off the bench. And you know, it gives guys, I think, a little bit of extra confidence when that type of performance happens.
So you get to Miami, is there extra space? And do you keep rings in a box? Is there medals? Like, you've won some stuff. You have a space for it? Do you have extra space ready?
Oh, there's space. There's space. Okay. Not right now. There's not an empty, I think, I don't even know where my rings are. The one from Columbus is still on the way.
You don't wear them into training? And you're like, Champions League, have you guys seen a Canadian championship?
Yeah, exactly. No, I didn't get a ring for that, actually. But no, obviously, you know, we're trying to win as much as possible. Simple as that. I've been fortunate enough to win a couple MLS Cups, a couple of Canadian championships, the US Open Cup. So, I've won my fair share of trophies already in this league. Obviously, not as many as some of the other teammates I have, but I would certainly like to add a few more. And obviously, the CONCACAF Champions Cup one kind of really sticks out at the moment, you know, because that gets you into a whole different tournament in terms of the new FIFA World Cup and the Club World Cup and all those types of things. And that's something that would be really cool to represent MLS and Inter Miami, you know, in that type of tournament, and just win that as a second team in MLS, and to kind of turn the tide. Obviously, you know, you always have the rivalry against Mexican teams, and that competition is always something that we look at, that we want to win and we want to do well in. I think every team that I've been on that has played in that wants to do well in that. So That's the first one I think we could get. And then we'll worry about the next ones afterwards a little bit more.
It could be an interesting road for you because Monterey, a little revenge from your Atlanta days. You could be matched up with Columbus again after that. It could be a fun road. It is going to be a lot of fun. It has been to watch this team. It is one of these stories in soccer. You're a major part of it. You are telling it in your own way on your podcast. Everyone go out, follow Julian Gressel, go listen to the show as well. You'll have a ton of fun. We appreciate you taking the time to come join us and good luck coming up.
I appreciate it. Always good to be on Extra Time.
All right. What an episode we've had. It has been a long one. It has been a long few years as well for me with this show. That's all for me. But of course, Extra Time goes nowhere. You can get back on Monday. Andrew Wiebe will be back on with Matt Doyle to break down the weekend for you. Thank you to Julian Gressel for coming on. Really interesting to hear his insight. He is an MLS lifer now. He has been everywhere. He has played in some of the most interesting situations. So I highly recommend going and listening to his podcast. And of course, Kalen Carr, number one in our hearts, number one in our minds, number one in our golden boot race every single time. So thank you all for listening. And of course, come back to Extra Time on Monday. Talk to you again soon.